But so let's talk about the 3 weeks and the relevant halakha for the 3 weeks begadol, and then relevant here at Moshe Wild Rose. The first one that comes up is that of shaving, and a lot of this is based off of Rami Merzel from Netziv Aryeh. He's got a whole write up, and then we'll have add a few additional ins of our own. And the first thing that comes up is that of shaving and haircuts. Chanechim are not allowed to get haircuts in camp anyway. That's a whole separate rule, both for not creating a haircutting economy and God knows what else. But if the majority of our Chanechim are Ashkenazim, and Ashkenazim don't get haircuts at all. Now, that's not entirely true. The majority of Ashkenazim and Mishnah Berurah Ashkenazim don't. Svardim will. But if you are a Rebbe Soloveitchik Jew, then it would be okay to get a haircut. Why would that be okay?
Friday, Kavu Travis.
Close. Rav Lichtenstein frequently, I think, said that about shaving. Rabbi Soloveitchik, this is like one of the big yisodos from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that there can never ever be a halakha midarabanan that's not based off of deraisa. And so, okay, what are we talking about here? Well, there's avelos ala korban. That's midarabanan. There was no korban bisman at Matan Torah. And so where else do we see an inyan of avelos?
People.
Literally avelos. The term avelos, when a person passes away. And so in a familial avelos, you'll have the period of aninos. Aninos, you're not allowed to put on tefillin, you're not allowed to learn Torah, you're not allowed to do mitzvot until the person is buried. That's the term in halakha is really mishi meso muto lefanav. And once that passes, then you go into avelos for a week long. And that avelos, you're not still restricted in some of the things you can do, but it's not quite as restricted. But then going further into Shloshim, you're mourning, but again, it's lighter, and specifically in the context of, say, the week of Avelos, you're not shaving, you're not really showering, you're not getting haircut for sure, and you're doing festive things, whereas during Shloshim, you're kind of not shaving, kind of yes shaving. I think the most common approach people have is that they're not going to shave or get their haircut, and so you'll see lots of people end up growing beards. What seems to be a nice minhag that I've seen a lot of people do is that they'll end up having a beard the entire year. But for those 30 days, you're not going to shave. You're not going to get a haircut. And then for the Yud Beis Chodesh for the entire year, when they're saying Kaddish until that first yard site, then are they getting a shave or not?
Yeah.
So generally, we see people shaving. What actually happens is that someone has to tell you look terrible. You need to shave. Usually, that's why it's good to have a wife. That she's reliable for it. But I have a friend. Whose family was of the opinion that that's not just the first time. It's not just on day 31 or day 45. Once you've been growing a long beard and your hair is really long, that someone has to tell you that you need a haircut, you have to shave. But every single time your hair goes out, someone has to tell you to shave before you're going to, that you look gross. And so I used to see a friend of mine who was an avelos, and I would tell him on a consistent basis, you look terrible, you got to shave. And then I kept doing it for a little while afterwards just for fun, and then at a certain point in time, being mean to him, stop being funny. So that's that's for an individual, mourning for a person. So Rizik says, let's take that model that we have, and let's figure out how that fits into the Avelos HaKorban. So let's, and he basically says, flip it on its head. So the 3 weeks is like your Beis Kodesh. And so are you allowed to get a haircut? Are you allowed to shave? Well, most people... don't need this special stringency that my friend has. Most people are getting haircuts and shaving during that time period. And so there are certain fun things that they're not doing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's the general idea. And then as you get in quite closer, and now you hit the 9 days, and the 9 days, or according to...
Is it not just Erev Shabbos? In general, he says you could shave?
According to Rav Soloveitchik, yeah. And according to Rav Willig, you'd love to listen to music personally, just not collectively, which means that if you're Rav Willig and Rav Soloveitchik together, you basically don't have any morning. But okay. And a friend of mine, Yoni Mandelstam, said that it was one of my first weeks in YU when I was post-Pesach. But he said that he grew a beard just because, even though he didn't have to, because he just wanted to feel like some sort of avelos during Asura. Anyway, so if we flip it, then Yud Beis Kodesh aligns to the 3 weeks. And so we're not going to get a haircut for those people, but according to Salvage, you actually kind of totally could. Rav Lichtenstein recommended getting shaving on Fridays. I don't know, I can't say specifically what his halakhic reasoning was. I don't know if he's relying on his father-in-law or if there was something else, just because I have not looked into it sufficiently. I'm happy to look into it further if we want. There are probably some Gush alumni around who we can ask. And then we get into the 9 days. The 9 days is going to be reflective of Shloshim. Now, during Shloshim, people don't shave. So during the 9 days, you're not going to shave. But how stringent are those halachos when it comes to swimming? We're not going to get into swimming tonight. But when it comes to swimming, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, said, well, we don't tell people they're not allowed to bathe during Shloshim. And so too, during the 9 days, Rabbi Matenke told me this past week, Rav Schachter, and based on Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, is of the opinion that there's no reason why people should not be able to go swimming, because swimming is an issue of bathing, and so kvaldik. I also happen to think that there's a little bit of sakana concern when it comes to swimming, but Rabbi Matenke was not convinced of that. That's a sugya for another time. And then as we get closer, we get into the week of Avelos. That's what we call Shavuot Shekalpo. And so this year, actually, you really have a Shavuot Shekalpo. The past few years, where there's been a lot of Saturday or Sunday Tisha B'Av. This year, it's on, I think, Tuesday night. God willing, there won't be any Tisha B'Av. But if there's Tisha B'Av, we really have a substantial amount of time where there are really stringent, very, very stringent halachos at play. And then you have Tisha B'Av itself, where just like Aninus, we don't put on tefillin, where our mitzvah performances are significantly limited. And so that's our Soloveitchik approach, which was a long introduction, but is necessary and important. When it comes to assuming that we're not following the Soloveitchik and we're following Mishnah Berurah, then we're not going to shave or cut our hair. Women can, both for beauty purposes and for mikvah purposes. We're not getting into all the halakhos of mikvah right now, but we'll leave it at that. Nevinsel was asked if can you shave for a shidduch, and his response was, theoretically, yes, but why would a girl want to go out with a guy who shaved during 3 weeks? And so it's fair. For working, we're mekel. Now, on a practical level, Rabbi Leibowitz has said many, many times since COVID that there's like a lot of people walking around with like substantial beards now. Like, is it really such an issue in an office? All right, so you'll figure out in your office, God willing, you won't start the week of Shiva Asar Tammuz before you like really understand the culture, and you'll be able to kind of feel it out and figure that out. Those are like definitely things to think about and consider. Whenever we have a question halacha, there's the halacha, but there's also the metzias of like, is this really a big deal? Does it really matter? Then we get into music, and and the shaving and haircutting in Rosh Hashanah is more or less the same for everyone. That's pretty consistent with normative halacha. Music is a little more complicated. In Rosh Hashanah, we're makel to allow certain kinds of music. But before we get into that, if we open up the halachos of Taniyos and of the 3 weeks, where in the world are you going to see that you're not allowed to listen to music? What halacha is it? Good. It's not any of those halakos, because the halakos of not listening to music has nothing to do with Sfira and has nothing to do with 3 weeks. The halakos of not listening to music is a halakha in Avelos HaKorban. And so in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, but in the Shulchan Aruch and in Kuf Taf Kuf Samech, Seif Gimel, this is all about making a Zeichel Korban. So Seif Aleph is telling us that, if you're building a house, you're supposed to leave a Zeichel Korban on the wall, and that you're supposed to leave a place setting empty because of the korban. A bunch of different things that we do zekel korban, and the halacha gimel is v'chein gazur shalom nagin v'chli shir v'chol minei zemer v'chol mashmini kol shal shir l'samech b'hem. You're not allowed to play music for fun. You're not allowed to play music for enjoyment. And there are more details. And the Ramah says dafka misha regilim b'hem kigon ha'malachim she'omdim v'shokim v'chli shir over beis hamishta. Meaning that if you always do it, but if you only do it sometimes, then maybe it's okay. But this is it's very, very clear in the halakha, in the Shulchan Aruch, that you're not supposed to listen to music. Now, most people you tell them that halakha, and they're like, what are you talking about? I listen to music all the time. But if you're a Nevinsel, Shulchan Aruch says, then you got to do it. This is one of my favorite stories. Rav Nevinsel, in his house, when he was raising his kids, didn't listen to music. I assume he still doesn't, but the story is about when he's raising his kids. So they would never listen to music, except the boys wanted to. There were a lot of young Talmidei Chacham in his house, and they'd come in with a system that, when are you allowed to listen to music? You have a siyum. Push it. And so they said, okay, great. We'll make a siyum every Friday. So they would each learn Maseches Talmid. They were on a rotation. One of the three or four brothers would learn it every single week. On Friday, they would make a siyum on Maseches Talmid, give Abba Reglach, and then play music for a little bit. And their father was like, oh, okay, fine. And so Rav Chizkiya Nevinsel, who's the current chief rabbi of the Old City, I wouldn't say Revi of mine, but I was able to know him very well when I was in the Tivaria. And then kind of spent a lot of time with him and his wife in their house. And Rav Chizkiya Nevinsel, when he was a Talmud in Chevron Shiva, he was roommates with one of Rav Avad Yosef's sons. I believe it is the current chief rabbi of Yitzchak Yosef, Shlita. And so, he's in his room. I imagine him like laying on his dorm room, but he's probably sitting there learning, if we're being honest about Rav Chizkiya, who learns through Shas Mishnayos every month. All of Shas Mishnayos every single month. And so he's in his room, and Rav Yosef Jr. I will assume whoever you expect you're safe turns out music. And Rav Chizkiya Ben Sal says, oh, making a siyum. For him, like in his life, that was just normal. But Rav Avadia was not as concerned. I wasn't accustomed to that practice. Most people who aren't accustomed to that practice. But that idea of we're not listening to music on a regular basis is not so much a 3 weeks thing or a severe thing. It's really a just life in general thing. But that's a little bit too intense for us. Why we do that throughout the year is basically because if we didn't listen to music, we'd be depressed. And there have been many spheres of omers where I've kind of felt that having not listened to music for a month, I definitely could use a little bit of a pick-me-up. But getting back to the Mishnah Berurah and talking about 3 weeks, what considerations do we need to have? Normally, we don't listen to music. What does it mean to not listen to music? We're not going to listen to live music, for sure. I don't think anyone anywhere is made able to listen to live music. Recorded music might be a little bit different. Now, a lot of people are not a fan of listening to like real hardcore recorded music, like upbeat or Nevinsal or Shlomo Zalman. I did not like it. They actually don't really like a cappella music either, because what's the difference, particularly in the world today, if you understand how music is made, like. Like there's like computer programming going on with the a cappella and computer programming going on with the guitar and the piano. But they're not a fan of a cappella because the whole idea is that if the music is supposed to create simcha, then you shouldn't be listening to something that's going to create simcha. That's the simple mathematics. So Shlomo Zalman also has I guess you could call it a kula, says there are certain kinds of music that's totally fine. Classical music is great. I happen to be a big fan of Bach, and if you listen to Yo-Yo Ma playing Sebastian Bach's pieces, they're incredible and awesome, and I highly recommend it. I sometimes listen to it when I'm trying to get work done. But in our case, where else could you be makel if you understand the yisod behind it? This is why it's important to understand the thought process in the halakha, not just understand the halakha psuka. It's why we learn the halakha in the Korah and the whole shalshela samasor of the halakha, and not just read the halakha. Because why does Rav Nevinsal and Shlomo Zalman think that's a problem to listen to upbeat music during Sfira? During the 3 weeks, or in general, because of Simcha. So great. So if the music's not going to lead to Simcha, then it's fine. So if you listen to Imashkechich, if you're listening to sad, depressing music, then maybe that's appropriate. Maybe that's okay. Our Dominican camp is to continue to play recorded music. We are makbid that it is music that's only going to be chinuchi, meaning that it's only going to be Hebrew Jewish music. We're not listening to any secular music in camp. We don't really listen to secular music in camp, so I'm not sure why that psak is any different. But we're only going to be restricted to things that'll contribute to the Aviron camp. To the same extent that you don't want to be depressed throughout the year, the goal of camp is not just to be at a baseline, but to be kind of higher level than that. It's what keeps the camp functioning. And so we'll listen to regular music throughout the 3 weeks, and then once we get into the 9 days, we'll strictly go to a cappella. Is that better according to Nevinsal or Shlomo Zalman? And we'll say Lahavdil, and I think he would agree. Ari Khan, who's Rav Matthew's father, he'll also agree that totally not helping. But in some world, it's better, and most importantly, it's a noticeable change for the Chanechim that we're now not in the 3 weeks, but we're now in the 9 days. Sometimes the halakha we follow here are in order to impart a message more so than they are relevant when you get into the specifics of the halakha. And so... by the same token, seemingly you could have a kumzitz. Seemingly you could, you should be able to do things that are sad, things that are lowly. Rav Nevinsal is very, very clear, and I think Mishnah Berurah is basically clear that for Rosh Chodesh, if you want to have Rosh Chodesh davening with singing and dancing, that's perfectly acceptable, even though we're already in the 9 days. Although we Shabbos as well, seemingly should be fine. You also could be playing music if it's going to help calm down a young child. How young is that child? I think depending on which madrashim you talk to in camp, they'll give you different opinions. I'm in the clear with my kids because they're 2.5 and 1, and those kids definitely count as little kids. But if you're going to turn on music to calm someone down, you're going to turn on music to satisfy someone. If you're driving the car, not only is it not a problem to turn on music, it's not commitment to turn on music because you're driving late at night. You want to stay safe, it'll keep you awake. Highly, 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 highly recommended. And so that really wraps up singing. And then the last one is, the last piece of music, and this is just an important kula for always to know, is that if you listen to music for the sake of the beat, because you're exercising, then that's okay. Rav Hadad Yosef apparently would listen to some female Arab woman when he was exercising. That's the Shmua. I've heard many people say it. I don't know why it was necessary to do that. And, it's just hard to wrap my mind around, only because, you don't need to listen to some... you want to listen to Arab music? Okay, fine. But, I don't know why a female Arab is necessary. But that's definitely the Shmua that I've heard on numerous occasions. And so I will share it. Last two things are Shehecheyanu and danger, and we gotta go. But danger, we'll just point out that there's a special minhag to focus a lot on the during Tachanun on Shomer Yisrael, v'chule, because that's an idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu protects us. And during the 3 weeks, we're more susceptible to danger. That we're more wary of things. We're going to specifically say Tachanun well. And so I keep that in mind. Good luck.
They're driving people to the airport, Erev Tisha B'Av.
And so,
We leave Erev Tisha B'Av. Some people to go.
Rav Nachman Soloveitchik and Rosh Hashanah Zalman are a fan of really not flying now. If you're flying for the purpose of a mitzvah, then it's okay. Leaving camp, I don't know if that's a mitzvah or an avera, depending on who you ask. There are a lot of different iterations of why that would be an avera or why it would be a special mitzvah, whether because kivud av aim, some will tell you because leaving camp but chalal is a mitzvah. Okay, we're not going to get into all those sugyos, but we try to avoid travel. If we can't do it, we can't do it, but for sure traveling for a mitzvah is a good idea. If you're at all concerned during that 3.5-hour journey, you can just make sure you're learning the entire time. Learning doesn't have to be with a sefer open. You can be listening to different Torah if you so choose. You can chazer all of the archiburos if you'd like. And so the last one really is Shehecheyanu. Now, why don't we make Shehecheyanu during the 3 weeks? Not because we're not allowed to be happy during 3 weeks, but because the bracha of Shehecheyanu is Shehecheyanu v'kiyumanu v'hagiyanu l'zman hazeh. It implies that we're happy about this moment, and we don't want to be in this moment. We don't want to be in the 3 weeks, so we avoid that bracha. Which is why, if you have a high level of Shehecheyanu, Shehecheyanu's base level simcha, what's the higher level bracha? Hatov v'meitiv. And if something is occurring where you're going to make Hatov v'meitiv, Shehecheyanu is personal joy. Hatov v'meitiv is joy that will apply to someone else as well. So if you're buying a house, it's going to benefit you and your whole family. If you're getting something where more than one person is going to enjoy it, then you'll make Hatov v'meitiv. And so Hatov v'meitiv you're allowed to make. We're not against Simcha this week. We're just against saying that particular bracha. So I think that wraps up where we're at. Just the last piece of that Shehecheyanu before, and then we'll actually wrap up, is that okay? So what happens if you're going to a fancy, you're going to a very, very, very Hamish, low level minor league baseball game tomorrow, and you want to buy paraphernalia? What are you supposed to do? Are you not allowed to buy it because you're not allowed to make a Shehecheyanu? The answer is very simple. If it's a Dover Aved, you're not going to be able to get it again. You're not going back to this place at any point time in the future, but you really wanted this memorabilia as like a memento from this wonderful experience in camp, then you buy it, and you just don't wear it until the time. You're not making the Shehecheyanu when you buy it. You're making a Shehecheyanu when you wear it for the first time. And so you'll buy it, and you'll wear it in a few weeks from now. It's not a big deal. That's very, very easy, very, very logical kula. And so those are some of the halakhas that are relevant for us during the 3 weeks. I'm sure more shaylos will come up. But this is something to work with. It's a baseline for us.
Can I buy clothes because my day off is this week?
So why are you buying clothes? You're buying clothes because you need them desperately right now?
Not now, but like maybe for next year.
The only question is why are you buying the clothes now? Why aren't you waiting until after the 9 days to do so?
There's like a good sale or something.
So, and we talk about Dover Aved. If you're missing out on a good sale, then great. Okay. Then it would make sense. But if you're on a day off and you're telling me you're going to buy clothing at Walmart
a mall. What if it's like a mall?
What if it's clothing you're not going to be good at the
auto? So... Those end up being two different things, but that's fair. And we'll assume that if it's ever of it, then you can buy it. Clothing you're not breaking Shehecheyanu is an interesting question. That gets into like almost a different category. And in modern day, we kind of tell people not to buy clothing at all. But if you're not going to make Shehecheyanu, then what should be the issue? We'll have to look into it.